Make America
no!
Hello and welcome to I'm Usually More Professional, a weekly politics podcast from the team here at Sportsbet. Not only are we podcasting, but we are on Sportsbet's YouTube page. My name is Alice Workman. I'm here in Canberra and joining me this week, as per usual, is Sam Dasyari and Joe Hildebrand.
Hello,
over the internet. Guys, I got a really special guest lined up to give a hot take.
No credibility. I mean, last week, your special guest fell through. You called your mother.
Hey, are you saying her mum's not special?
How dare you say that?
I know her mother.
What? Right?
I've met Alice's mother.
Is this like one of those insults things?
No.
Not talking jive?
I ain't jive talking here. I met your mother in the cage at Stonewall Nightclub, dancing.
This is some fake news.
Were you both on the same side of the cage?
Well, no, we're both in the cage together. And I believe there are some photos lurking somewhere in the system that
you do not have photos of this, do you?
You know why I have photos of it, right? I'm trying to find them. I couldn't. I sent it to you. I texted you from a gay, I can even say gay nightclub. Is that kind of offensive? Yeah.
No,
from a gay
nightclub. LGBTIQ plus.
Let's tell the story from my perspective. I was innocently doing nothing. And then I get a text from Sam Dasyari of a picture of my mother in a cage in a gay nightclub.
Wow.
Which I later found out was because it was during the postal survey
I was going to say, what was your mum doing in a gay nightclub? We all know why Sam was there.
Yeah. It's called trawling.
It was during the postal survey that we had to have about whether or not people should be allowed to marry the person they love. And my mum and my sister went to a Yes event, which
I was hosting
our
a Yes event with
from university was hosting as in drag.
I was hosting a Yes event at a gay nightclub.
You were hosting your own
Yes event. Yeah, that's right. Any reason, any excuse.
I was hosting a Don't Stop event.
And, naturally when you have these events, you get into the cage and start taking photos with Alice's mom.
Well, it's the only chance.
That was a tough time.
On a normal night, there'd be a queue.
But I never found out did she go up and introduce you? Or, how did you even meet each other? I don't even know.
You don't want to know.
Things just happen. You just go with it.
I have a real special guest that's mean to my mum. I have another special guest that is coming up at the end of the show, so everyone should stick around for that.
Have I been in the cage with this person?
Not the cage, but you've definitely been in other places with this person. Yeah, sure.
So I've had a yak with cat, not giving an inch with hinch. I still haven't had not giving a foot with katoot, but this... It's going to rhyme is what I'm saying. Is it going to rhyme?
Yeah, it is going to rhyme. Okay. It is going to rhyme. Okay, so, obviously we're here to talk about, I don't know, what are we here to talk about? Oh, the election, I guess. It's 13 days until the US heads to the polls. But sometimes, speaking of my mum and families, you've got those annoying relatives and annoying friends that have too many opinions about politics and you just want to get away from them during election season.
Yep, like Hunter Biden.
Like Hunter.
I have a solution for you. Check this out. If you have a bit of spare time on your hands next week, you can literally live under a rock and scream to your heart's content about the results, because they've put up on hotels.com a man-made cave built 50 feet below ground in New Mexico.
Oh, wow.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's being marketed as an escape from, quote, election stress disorder, which is something that was coined by therapist Stephen Sosny, who says that for many people, continual alerts from news sources, blogs, social media, and alternative facts feel like missile explosions in a siege without an end. And the shock and anger that follows the election threatens to give way to anxiety and depression and anger.
Could we get someone who actually has had a missile fired upon them for a sort of compare and contrast kind of thing? Can we get someone from Benghazi
or Iran, maybe? Maybe if there's someone from Iran, Iran that had been bombed.
One of those orphans in the hospitals with their arms and legs blown off and see if they think that that's just as bad as some poor millennial hearing that Donald Trump is closing the polls.
This is the problem with therapists, right? You take something funny, which is we've got this cave and it's if you're upset about this and that, which would be a joke thing someone in an office might all, you know, get someone for their birthday.
Also, but also a man-made cave. Like if you're going to make it yourself, build a fucking house.
Also, it has Wi-Fi and Netflix.
Build a house with the NBN.
I believe it would be called a man cave.
Just like if it's like stay in a real cave. That's how you feel.
Yeah. Okay. So you're saying
I've stayed in a real cave. Do you know that you're the real?
Do you know what caves you can do? And then there was that 5 or 6 years I was with ISIS, and then we were kind of all underground.
That's Osama.
Sorry. Islamic State.
Oh, yeah, because you wouldn't want to defame ISIS.
Don't want to defame them. They've already endorsed Trump. No, that was the Taliban. Sorry.
They're very different.
Yeah, that is
actually, like, comparing the Taliban to ISIS is actually one of the very few ways that you can actually defame the Taliban. Like, there's pretty much only two. It's like, oh, come on, guys, we're not that bad.
Is that like calling, like, you a Nazi on social media, which seems to be the going trend?
That's defaming Nazis.
Some weeks I think there's just too much going on that I can't keep track of it all. So I hear, Joe, you've got a bit of time on your hands, maybe?
I do have a bit of time on my hands these days, Alice. Yeah, thanks for reminding me of that. Yeah, I got pretty much free after the show.
Most people aren't aware of this, but when we record, Joe got here 4 hours early just to hang out.
Just wanted to, you know, chat to people, you know, shoot the breeze, you know, catch up, a few guys, have a few coffees, see if anyone's got any new podcast ideas. You know,
he was walking up the streets of kind of Everly Redfern just trying to talk to people.
Well, we know that already. This is a community service because we know that people are being swamped by information and misinformation and disinformation about the election. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be great if someone could just compress all that information and put it in a nice, quick sort of 30 seconds or a little package so you could just hear it and find out, all right, that's what happened this week and that's that. Except the problem is, officially, nothing actually happened last week. Like, the biggest story in the election was a story that everyone pretended just didn't happen. So what happened this week was actually what didn't happen this... Does that make sense? Anyway, no, just play the thing, you'll see. So, here's what happened over the last week in US politics. Absolutely nothing. Miranda Devine definitely did not write a front page story in the New York Post about Joe Biden meeting his son Hunter's Ukrainian business associate. Biden's secret emails. How do we know it didn't happen? Because when people tried to post the article on Twitter and Facebook, nothing happened. Our communication around our actions on the NY Post article was not great. And blocking URL sharing via tweet or DM with zero context as to why we're blocking, unacceptable. Indeed, according to the New York Times, the author of the article didn't even write the article. The New York Post's front page article about Hunter Biden on Wednesday was written mostly by a staff reporter who refused to put his name on it, two Post employees said. And so, of course, no one in the media asked any questions about the article because the article never existed. Unfortunately, one poor CBS reporter mistakenly thought that the non-existent article did exist and even more mistakenly dared to ask Joe Biden about it.
Mr. Biden, what is your response to the New York Post story about your son, sir?
I know you'd ask it. I have no response. It's another smear campaign.
Well, of course Joe Biden had no response. There was nothing to respond to. Fortunately, the reporter's boss at CBS was quick to correct him and remind him there was no story. Bo, this is your news director. The right question is, what do you think of the report that Rudy Giuliani used Russian disinformation to try to smear your family 19 days before an election? There, fixed it for you. Yes, he fixed it. There seem to be a lot of things that are fixed in this election campaign. But just after the CBS news director publicly censured his own news reporter for publicly pursuing a news story, that tweet mysteriously disappeared. I guess that didn't happen either. So there you have it. Absolutely nothing happened last week.
Speaking of things that did not happen, or maybe they did, what's going on with Rudy Giuliani and Sacha Baron Cohen, aka Borat?
What's this?
Did you see this show?
No, I missed this. What happened?
It's like everywhere at the moment.
Really?
Okay.
I was here waiting for people to talk to.
Sacha Baron Cohen, right?
Yes.
Borat.
Yeah.
Borat.
You know, kind of same kind of shtick he's been doing for a long time. He goes, he dresses up as characters and he kind of pranks in these different politicians, gets them to do crazy things.
Yes,
things
I remember. He did the...
Done a lot of them, right? He can't do it anymore, Right? It's hard for him to do it. He's too recognizable.
Because everyone knows.
Everyone's suspicious. You know, even the last time when he was a right-wing American for that This Is America thing, it's all getting a bit hard for him.
You've got the guy to run backwards around the room with his bum poking out. Saying,
so what he's actually got now is someone purporting to be his 15-year-old daughter. Huh? Who is doing kind of interviews and that about different matters as kind of part of his new show thing that's being released. And they had an interview with Rudy Giuliani.
Wait, you should point out she is an actress.
She's an actress. She's not 15, in fairness.
And she's not really his daughter.
Not really his daughter. She's in this interview, the allegation, because they haven't released all of it yet, it'll come out in a week or a couple of days, is that it was incredibly flirtatious. Right. And then he in the kind of, they were doing it in a hotel room, which is not the most uncommon place to do an interview when he's sitting. But then she got him to go into the bedroom, and then he laid down, and there is some shots and stills and images which look like he's got his hands down his pants, potentially playing with himself.
Whoa. Yeah, but he said that he was tucking his shirt in, but they had taken the microphones off.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I've never lied down on a bed to tuck my shirt in.
No, not with the
tucking a shirt in is a stand-up episode for me. But then again,
was the girl still in the room?
I see when I pee, so you know, who knows? It's their own.
Was the girl still in the room?
She was still in the room and she was flirting with him. And she was, by all accounts, I mean, you can argue it's in trap.
Was it a honey trap? Was she like trying to get him to?
Yes, I think she was trying to make it in the case. Now, here are a couple of questions that no one seems to know yet. And you know, obviously, it's a marketing thing as they're holding on to it. To what extent was she, did she actually purport to be a 15-year-old girl? That's a big deal. Like, it's bad anyway. It doesn't look good to start with, right? What's Rudy doing going into a room with a reporter, with just the two of them in there with the door closed, right? What kind of shirts is he wearing?
So Giuliani has said that he recognized Sacha Baron Cohen, and so as soon as he got into the hotel room, he called the cops and called his people. And yet still somehow he ended up lying
and
down.
And then went in the room with the... Is this payback for is this old stuff that's just come out now that because he has now said that the Hunter Biden laptop and quote unquote Hunter Biden because we don't know if it's his or not or whatever the purported one has some potentially dodgy images of underage exchanges or images of underage.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Is this like payback for that?
No. The timing of this is quite opposite, right?
Right.
So if you're going to be conspiracy, before we get to the conspiracy, too, the other point is, if I go and I realize, oh, this is Borat or this is Sacha Baron Cohen, a couple of things. Firstly, why is he by himself? None of that makes sense, right? Yeah. And if you go, oh, this is a prank, either you play along and kind of rip it apart or you walk out.
Yeah.
You don't lie down in the bed.
It's pretty weird.
And yet,
go.
And yet, not the strangest sex story that's come out of America this week.
Yeah, like, I mean, honestly, if you're gonna get done, pledging the pliant plesiosaur, spanking the monkey, waxing the dolphin.
Okay, I get the waxing the dolphin, spanking the monkey. What was the first one you said?
Pledging the pliant plesiosaur.
Have you heard of this one, Alice?
What is that? Not
of
common.
Course not.
That's not
come
a common
on
expression.
No. None of my people are stonewall using that expression.
My parents have told me a lot of lies. Anyway, but how about Tubin?
The
New Yorker guy who was on a Zoom call. So he's a writer for the New Yorker. Tubin has now become a, like Tubin. I'm just Tubin. So that's another metaphor for you.
Now, he was on a Zoom call.
He was on a Zoom call with other colleagues, I believe from the New Yorker, talking about election stuff or whatever. And
they were doing
This is how the trouble starts. They were simulating their coverage of the debate, I think, weren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was it a small debate or was it a mass? No. Okay. Anyway.
Poll. I think the word you're looking for is poll.
The poll.
So this was public, right? How many people saw this?
Well, enough. And because there was actually, so Vice, I think, was the first outlet to report it, and good on them for maintaining journalistic standards. And originally they thought it was just an inadvertent sort of glimpse of the old fella, the meat and two veg, the John Thomas, the Henry Winkler.
John Thomas?
Okay, am I Robinson Crusoe here? Anyway, and then that
John Thomas
Vice actually corrected the story. They had a note at the bottom that said this story has been corrected to reflect the fact that he was masturbating. And it's like, well, that is attention to detail, isn't it? That is journalistic integrity at its highest. But anyway, so
it's rising to the occasion.
So he's actually admitted it, and he's been stood down. He's also the legal affairs commentator on CNN. He's taken leave from that, whatever that means. But
he stood down, the term they used.
Well, first you stand up, then you. He's gone because he thought his video and his audio was on mute, and obviously the audio, it seems to be anyway, that he'd muted himself, muted the audio, and thought, well, there's no video there either, and then he's had a go.
But he's really like, to what?
This is what I don't understand. This is the million-dollar question that no one's asking. Who gets off on a Zoom call?
Who gets off on the New Yorker?
It's like, and imagine all his staff there thinking, who was on the screen? That was it me? Like, is it, you know, is it Bob from accounts?
Like, Bob from accounts doesn't get invited to Zoom calls.
Who is, or is it just the whole idea of the Zoom thing? Like, say, hey, I just love talking strategy.
It's a power thing. It's a power thing.
Or is it just that naughty thing? Oh, I can see you, but you can't see me. And then,
and you won't believe who's weighed into the Jeffrey Toobin Zoom call.
Oh, tell me.
No, let's roll it.
Damn, Jeffrey Toobin. At least Pee Wee Herman was in an X-rated movie theater. I'm just saying.
That was O.J. Simpson. Wow.
Man, you know when O.J.'s scoring points off you, your career's just not going well.
And he allegedly murdered someone.
Two people, I believe.
Two people. One of them was interesting for the media. The other one was just killed.
Let's quickly talk about what has happened today. So a lot has happened today. The FBI have come out and said that Iran and Russia have been interfering in this election that's in 13 days' time, sending threatening emails to Democrat voters.
Oh, come on. Yep. Oh, right. So as soon as they get the Hunter Biden laptop, suddenly the Russians are back. Join the dots, people.
I don't think the Russians went away. And the Persians are there now,
and
too.
Now they've got the Persians. Yeah, what is this? Athens, 500 BC.
They say the Persians or Iranians. What do they say? Iran or
Iran.
Yeah, no. See, that's what they even got it wrong. They don't, you know, Iranians don't call them Persians.
Yeah, aren't they? They are. Aren't
there
they?
Is actually quite a lot of them in LA at the moment.
Persians
who are, and there's a whole part of LA they call Tehrangulus, and they made a TV show about it called Shards of Sunset, which is the best of all the reality TV shows. Oh, there's a bunch of rich Persians.
It's like Real Housewives, but for
it's like Real Housewives of hairy men living in LA. I don't think these people are swinging any elections, by the way.
That is
the Kardashians, you know, are from
Romania.
Yeah, and then you've got the Shards of Sunset. Yeah.
Oh, that is beautiful.
So, okay, so this whole thing, this is I think it's a big deal. They're saying they've got the voter files. Right.
Yeah.
What they don't quite say is, well, what does that mean? Like, our electoral roll is public. Right? So kind of like whatever. Yeah. Right. Like, everyone's got our roll. So they got copies of the roll. What does that mean? What's the significance of that?
How is it interfering? Or are they just ringing up? You know, hey, Democrat voter, you better not vote Democrat from the Ayatollah.
I don't quite get the Iran part in this too.
Well, the Iranians don't like Donald Trump because started a war with them. Would they be telling people?
Not just that, though. I'm not quite sure if he's formally said this. There's an expectation that Biden would go back to Obama's and re-enter the nuclear deal.
Yeah. So why are they trying to stop that from happening?
You know what? I'm just saying, this a lot of things don't add up here.
You reckon it might be a bunch of giant horseshit?
Well, I think this might be some fake news from Alice Workman.
From the FBI. The FBI held a press conference.
Exactly.
The FBI planted the news on Alice Workman.
How well that went in 2016.
So this is all about Area 51.
If you want some stats, there have been 31.1 million early voters so far, and that's 22% of the full turnout from 2016. And of the people that are voting early, surprise, surprise, Democrats, 7.5 million, that's 53%, 25% of Republicans and 20% of people who say they're not affiliated. You know who's come out the hottest and the earliest? Vermont, Texas and New Jersey.
Well, that makes...
Hotspots states.
But look, Going back to where the kind of polling's at the moment, right? So I think the more interesting thing from last week to this week is the fact that it just hasn't moved. So last week you were looking at a 9 to 12% kind of lead, depending on what numbers, what poll you're going to go for Biden. What you've got now, and I think this is where the Trump stuff's in real trouble. If you are to believe the polls, there's a big if in there.
Yep, sure.
You 7 days later, you're still 7 to 9 to 12 points behind. Right?
Yeah.
You run out of days.
Yeah, I agree.
So this is, I think, the big Trump problem at the moment is going to be how many days are left to be able to change the narrative?
There are still just so many ifs, though, and that's the thing. And I agree, it looks to all and sundry like Biden is just going to romp it in. But there was someone who was by no means a Trump supporter who was pointing out that, again, Biden is behind where Hillary Clinton was in some of the key swing states. Yeah. There was a poll that came out just yesterday, I believe, that showed it was tightening by to about 2 or 3%. Now, that was just one poll, and that was very much a rogue result. But it was a poll that I think in the past has favoured Republicans over Democrats. So, again, massive chunk of salt. But there are all these little things. There's things like voter registration, where the margins are not as big as they were for the Democrats as they were in 2016.
Okay, to agree with you, the one that was a Pew Research poll that came out 7 days ago now, because we missed it just for the last podcast, that showed that 56% of Americans believe that Donald Trump's going to win the election.
Yep.
That's a really strange outcome, right? Considering there's the actual published polls, right, are so different from the expectation.
It's a strange outcome. The thing is that it has a different outcome in a voluntary voting system than it would in a compulsory voting system. So remember in 2016, everyone thought that Malcolm Turnbull was just going to piss it in. Everyone thought he was just going to walk over the finish line, and that came through in all the polling. And that
No, it didn't, though. That was the thing. I'll tell you a story in a sec. Keep going.
Well, certainly everyone...
News Limited, News Corp.
Everyone thought... I don't think there was a single person who thought that Shorten was even in with a chance. I'd like to see anyone who...
Yeah.
Put their hand up and say that they called it. And because everyone assumed that Malcolm Turnbull was going to get it, everyone thought, well, I can lodge a bit of a protest, right? And then you had the Medicare stuff at the end.
Okay.
And that pulled it
this
back.
This is where you're wrong. This is the I hear what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
But we had different numbers because I was seeing the polling every day, right?
No, I'm talking about the expectation, though.
Yeah, expectation because of what you guys were writing. But... I'm wearing my Kevin White hat, my Kevin 07 shirt. That's why I'm wearing it next week.
Royal Commission now!
No. But our internal polling, you're right, though, because this is the bit that kind of freaked us out. We were looking at internal polling every day.
Yeah.
And our internal polling had an incredible tight. And it was tight every day, and every day kept getting tight. It just stayed tight the whole, like, last 10 days. And I remember, like, the last day of the campaign, so I was traveling with Bill, and Bill going, like, we're trying to sit there and look at it. Well, what are we missing? What have we got wrong here?
Yeah.
Right, because everyone else is saying this, and that's what have we got wrong? And then we realized, oh, they were wrong. Our numbers were actually right. It was really close. We had it pretty much really close. They're probably going to just win. But we had that the whole way through
in 2016.
And yet the published polls, news poll, that weren't that off the mark. But the commentary and expectation, I don't know if it's the belief that people just believe Trump can win because the kind of guy who wins. No,
I'm sure. And look, I couldn't recite it chapter and verse. But I'm sure I saw polls that showed how many that there was a far higher majority thought Turnbull was going to win than ended up voting for him. And that's great in a democracy where everyone votes, and that's fine. But if you've got voluntary voting, there's a suggestion, and this has been written about just this week as well, that. Why does everyone think that Trump's going to win? Well, is it just A, because he won against all expectations last time? And I think that's probably
definitely
it.
A factor.
But there's another suspicion that it's these quiet Trump voters, the so-called shy Trump voters, and maybe they don't even exist. Maybe it's just a figment of our imagination, whatever, who actually know that they're out there and they know that they and people they talk to are saying the same thing. Either they're embarrassed to say it among other friends, or they're deliberately... not answering the phone or not saying they're going to vote for the other guy. They're going to say, oh, no, don't worry, Trump's going to win. And I got to say, I see this among so many MAGA people. They are just absolutely convinced. I see a few sort of slightly pointy-headed people getting a bit nervous and thinking, holy crap, maybe it's not happening.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who are just absolutely convinced he's going to win and win bigger.
Look, there's a lot of cult of personality there, obviously, with Trump, right? And that's something. But again, like, you look at Pennsylvania.
I know.
He's 7.5. Yeah, 7.5.
Do you want to see what Trump said in Pennsylvania this week? I think we've got it.
Oh, let's do it.
14 days from now, We are going to win the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and we are going to win 4 more years in the White House. With your vote, we will continue to cut your taxes, cut regulations, support our great police, protect our Second Amendment, defend our borders, keep jobs and wealth in America where it belongs. Thank you.
So just to give you a quick fun fact, ad spend. So from now until the end of the campaign, so just this tight 2 weeks, yep. Biden has $432 million to spend because off the back of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, they raised a record $383 million, I think it was, in September alone. Whereas, so Biden's got $432 million. Trump has just $251 million. I mean, of course, he says it'll spend his own money, but I actually don't believe that he would because maybe he doesn't have any. But it, the interesting thing is that obviously in 2016, Clinton outspent him 2-1, $768 million to his $398 million. But this time round, where is Trump spending all his money? Digitally, online. They spent a huge amount to figure out how to target, where to target. Obviously, they don't have Cambridge Analytica this time, or maybe they do. But I mean, if they're spending their money online, not making memes of Trump dancing, I don't know what they're doing, because he did it again this week, and this time to the YMCA. So my question is this why Obama has come out this week? He hasn't actually gone to any of the rallies yet. He did that awkward video we talked about a month ago, where he sat down with Biden and talked to – oh, he sat down with Kamala and talked about –
no, he didn't even sit down with her. He sat there while she Zoomed called him.
Yeah.
And none of these two –
I'm telling you nothing about Joe. He loves ice cream. Such a character. Yeah. He loves ice cream. I mean, can you believe it?
But, yeah,
no one likes ice cream like Joe. Except
Obama,
maybe Nancy Pelosi. But that's another story. We're not meant to talk about that. Okay, great. Oh, a dimension. He loves sunglasses too. He's a character. Fuck me dead.
Do you want to see what Obama actually said?
Yes.
I don't actually. I feel like I've seen it already now. Nothing Obama. How can Obama follow that?
I was talking to a buddy of mine who's a personal trainer. He says, yeah, you know, I meet folks. They start off, they're supposed to be on a workout program. And, you know, after about a month, they say, you know what, this isn't helping me. I'm not looking like The Rock. So I'm just going to quit working out. Was I? And he tells him, he says, listen, you're never going to look like The Rock. But you can be healthier than you are right now.
Right.
And you'll live longer and have a better quality of life and set a better example for your kids if you work out and eat better. Yeah. Right? Well, voting's a little bit like that. Just by virtue of one single election, things don't become perfect, but you get yourself on a pattern, on a habit.
Get it? Barack, The Rock.
Yeah, that's what voting. I actually thought he was making a joke about, you're not going to look as good as me, because he's looking pretty fly.
Can I make a few observations there? So his take, whatever happened to hope and change became, it's just like, you know, it'll be all right. I mean, like, look, don't like, we're not going to do anything. It'll just be like, you know.
Why don't they just get the Pantene shampoo ads? And it won't happen overnight, but it will happen.
I find the mask very confronting.
Yeah, it was Rachel Hunter who did it.
Do you find the mask confronting during election campaigns?
Can I say, it just pisses me off. Like, firstly, surely you're allowed to not wear a mask if you're doing public speaking. There's exemptions for broadcast in Victoria, even where it's compulsory. There's exemptions for broadcasting if it's part of your job that you have to be able to speak clearly. So why is he wearing a mask there?
I just feel like
it's just, it's like, and he is the best orator of, he's the best political orator, I would say, of the last, half century. Since JFK, plus more, and he's putting on this fucking mask just to show how right on he is and how he's with the program. He doesn't have to wear a mask.
Yeah, that's what Trump says.
There's no one in the bloody room with him. We can see.
That's what Trump says.
There's no one within 6 foot.
It's a drive-in rally, actually. So I think everyone's in their cars.
Yeah.
That's
it's
weird. Obvious.
Yeah, no, it's he's doing it just to show... Because the whole messaging is, if you wear a mask, you're a Democrat. If you don't wear a mask, you're a selfish Republican who wants to kill grandma. And that is the entire mindset of America right now. And so the greatest orator of the 21st century has to wear a fucking mask and speak...
So you're saying it's virtue signaling.
And speak in such... Oh, of course it's virtue signaling. I just hate that phrase. But yes, it is. And all of these Joe hates
virtue signaling and the title, virtue signaling.
That's right.
Virtue signaling, it's very hard to hate something that refuses to name.
But it is the hate that dare not speak its name. But the greatest orator of the 21st century has to wear this bloody stupid mask just to virtue signal to his own base. To the point where he ends up ruining his own speech, ruining his own joke, so that instead of saying The Rock, people think he's saying Barack.
Okay, so if we don't think Obama's going to win any votes, you know who else has come out for Biden this week?
Who?
Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
And Shaq is headlining a rally for Biden on Friday.
Oh. Pretty exciting. Who's Trump got?
But a really big name in the R&B community came up this week.
Kanye's running.
He said that he hadn't been paying attention at all until he heard about Biden's tax plan, and he is so against it because he is so rich from all of the Inter Club hits. It's 50 cents.
50. Please, can we say it correctly? Yeah. Like,
come on, Alice.
Oh, sorry. 50. 50.
Kamala? Fitty.
Do you want to hear the quote? Quote, I don't care Trump doesn't like black people. 62% tax. Are you out of your fucking mind?
Wow.
Quote.
Wow. Who said that?
50 cent.
Okay, great.
50
Shaq
cent.
Look, Shaq Alice
likes to call him a half dollar. 50 cent. 50 cent, Kanye, whoever. They got to where they are. By hustle. They got there with the skin of their teeth. They got there by doing it for themselves.
Funny they wrote a song about it.
And they would think that's right. And they think, well, I got to where I am despite the white man, despite the machine, despite the system, whatever. And now the system's telling me that they want to get a cut of the money I made myself with my own stuff. Screw that. And I wonder if that is something.
I profited off capitalism.
Yeah, that's right. And so they don't buy identity politics. They think, no,
this
I just want my
goddamn
money. This
is the most incredible generalization. There is so many jumps, leaps, and jumps of
logic
in this.
I'm saying for those two people in particular, they are both self-identified, out and proud Trump supporters, and they are rich as Croesus, okay?
Well, no. But, for a long period of time, 50 Cent was bankrupt.
According to Wikipedia, his first album was called Get Rich or Die Trying.
Yeah. According to my CD collection.
Socialism to you? Hmm?
Sure.
Let the democratization of the means of production.
I'm speaking against that. So the whole attempt to say, well, because you're black, you have to be anti-Trump or you have to be oppressed because everything's racist. They just say, no, fuck you. I made my money and I want to keep it.
The numbers show you a couple of things you're right. Okay. So the support everyone's a little bit surprised by this. The support amongst black Americans is lower at the moment for Biden than it was for Clinton
exactly
in some of the
polling.
Now, there's a couple of concerns. And then everyone, again, makes the mistake of comparing it to Obama, which is obviously the first president.
Of course. Yep.
So ignore that.
Yep.
What they're not sure about, though, and because I've seen a couple of pollsters trying to crack this bit down, why is that the case?
I just told you.
No. Is it because of what you said? Is it because the afterglow of Obama still being there, right? No, don't fear. There was a whole... In 2016, Trump was running a lot harder against Obama, and Obama was still the darling of the community and all that kind of thing. Right? There's lots of different things at play here. But on that, part of the problem they've got with all this polling is that when you're talking about turnout, and turnout being the focus of the campaign, so this situation now with 13 days to go, no one cares about anything but turnout. Turnout is the only thing that matters. No one's winning any votes. No one's choosing anyone. Like, Alice, what you're talking about, all the money they're doing on targeting, I'm sure is just to make sure their people vote now, right? Sure, you can throw a little bit to some undecideds here and there.
Yep.
But who doesn't have an opinion on Trump and Donald Trump at the moment in the world, right? Love him or hate him, you have your opinion pretty much formed. If you can act on it, it's a different matter. In the state-by-state polling, the demographic turnouts, right, start getting really wobbly.
Yep.
And you start having problems with all of our polling, and the same thing that happens is this. So let's say I'm doing a poll of 1,000 people, in Ohio. In a poll of 1,000 people, that's 9%, 10% of the population of Ohio will be black.
Yep.
So I need 9% of the poll to be that. But I can't get 9%.
No.
I get 2% of people participating. I then blow that up and then weight you've got to 9%.
Yep, sure.
Right? And these things get wacky. And on top of that, community demographic turnouts, Hispanic, black, Asian, whatever you want to break it down to, varies so much from state to state in terms of what the turnout is. It's a really bizarrely complicated model. Your point, which is to what extent is that, look, the bit I'm surprised, actually, to be honest, isn't the black thing, is that the Hispanic votes kind of held up for Trump after 1,000%, all the war stuff.
Because that's not the same either. Thing. Because you've got a whole bunch of, frankly, right-wing Cubans living in Florida who have fled Castro. Again, they hate socialism. They hate anything that smells of socialism, even though, of course, we know that Biden's not a socialist. But, and again, I say, just take the polls out of it. If you just look at, remember Donald Trump infamously said, what have you got to lose? And he said, you've had your black president. You've tried the thing. He's black. You're black. He's going to help you. And they just weren't feeling it. He was saying, okay, the jobs just aren't there. And this is the whole thing, that Donald Trump's whole mandate, for better or worse, was to save working class jobs, save jobs at the lower end. And he said, look, you've got nothing to lose. He's, before the pandemic came along, jobs have continued to grow. The trajectory did start under Obama, but they continue to get higher and higher. The economy is doing really well. In the meantime, the Democratic strategy was to say, Trump is a racist, Trump is a racist, Trump is a racist, he's a racist, he's a Nazi, he likes racists and Nazis, he's a racist. You're black, therefore you have to hate Trump because he's a racist. And it is obvious, at the very least, that that has not worked at all. And if anything, that has got a whole bunch of people going, you know what,
I'm not doing better.
But it has. It's gone back. The black vote for Trump is higher than it was 4 years ago.
Sure, no, but you're making these huge assumptions in what you just said there, right?
No, but we don't have anything. Like you said, trust the polling. So what other reason could it be?
What I'm saying is, right, the whole it doesn't work as you... Perhaps it's not been as effective as they thought it was going to be. They haven't worked bit. You're still talking about 80%.
That's right, but it needs to be 90. So the number has gone backwards.
It doesn't necessarily need to be 90.
Definitely gone backwards. You'd have to admit that.
Yeah, no. That's
four years of this. 4 years of this horrendous racist being in power, and the black vote for the Democrats has gone down, and the black vote for Trump has gone up.
But
now, that is a pretty weird thing to have to...
But then I can also argue, then why is it that the white working class vote's doing better for Biden at the moment? There's all these other things, it all kind of weighs about. Now, on that though, Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Everything is still Pennsylvania. Yep. I think it's only... Everyone does their numbers, and I know, there's a Pat Robertson, a few others, people have tried to create these kind of models that say that the Republicans can win without Pennsylvania. They just can't.
No.
This whole thing about suburban women, all this talk of suburban women, Trump himself in a rally was saying, I want suburban women to love me, blah, 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 which, by the way, he claims that this 60 Minutes interview, that they were kind of, that's the reason he walked out. Yeah. Was this reference to that? Well, I guess we're all going to see. Because he said that was a joke, probably was a joke. Hey, suburban women, why don't you love me anymore? Why don't you love me? Blah, blah, blah. It was clearly in jest. I still think there's a lot further to pay on this High Court matter, Supreme Court, where all of this stuff, the Roe Wade stuff, all this is all about Catholics in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Biden. By the way, when we just saw Obama, he was in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I believe there was a period of time where both Trump and Obama were within kilometers of each other in Pennsylvania. And Biden's obviously back there, I think, tomorrow. But they're just going back and forth now, kind of that point of the campaign. It's really kind of going to be an interesting little play to see how much time, how much money. What I'm really fascinated by is, as you talk about how much money's in that place and how much money's left to spend, in a place like Pennsylvania, surely you reach saturation with your spending. Surely you get to a point where dollar just doesn't matter.
If they're really 7.5 points up in Pennsylvania and have been consistently so, and frankly the Republicans need to win at all costs, there are ways the Democrats can still get up without it, why are they throwing everything but the kitchen sink at it? Why is Obama there? Why is Biden there?
Because they don't trust. Constantly. Let's be honest, clearly
they don't
trust.
That's right. So it's obviously tighter.
They just don't trust their own polling. They don't want to make the mistake they did last time.
Yep.
And by the way, why wouldn't you throw the kitchen sink if that's the one way to block your guy, right?
Cool.
You would throw everything at it.
Yep.
And the other thing that's happening this week, of course, is the debate Well, will it happen? I don't know. Rather than ask him any commentary on it, because it hasn't happened yet, how about we let Donald Trump give us his opinions about the new mute function?
Well, I think the mute is very unfair, and I think it's very bad that they're not talking about foreign affairs. They're supposed to be talking about foreign affairs, and I think that the anchor is a very biased person. Her parents are very biased, but that's my life. In the meantime, that's the White House standing behind me, right?
And now it's time for my favorite segment of the podcast, Who Said It? This should have a better title.
I need to look at some more dance moves. Are you strobing?
Woo! Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah. Now, before we start, we have to clear up some business. Last week, there was some cheating that happened.
Yes.
That I was not on board with.
I was on board with it.
Disgusting.
this week, I've had to make things a little tricky because...
Whatever it takes.
I don't want any of that corruption happening. This isn't, you know, I'm ICAC, and this is not going to happen. Okay, so this week...
getting all his answers from Daryl McGuire.
Who I've been in a relationship with for years.
Okay, so this week, it is Donald Trump or... David Brent from the UK office.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Now, I take it you've both seen the UK office,
oh, yes.
Otherwise.
Oh,
this
yes.
might be tricky.
Free love freeway.
Free love on the free love freeway.
Free
exactly.
Love
okay.
On the free love freeway. Gonna...
So let's start this week with the cheater, Sam. Sam, quote number one, quote, a good idea is a good idea forever.
David Brent.
Correct. Ooh, okay. Over to you, Joe.
Nothing's forever.
In life, you have to rely on the past, and that's called history.
It's got to be David Brent.
That is Donald Trump.
Woo, yeah!
1-0 to Sam. Sam, back to you. Quote, what you're singing and what you're reading is not what's happening.
Definitely Trump.
Yeah.
Yes, correct. 2-0 to Sam.
Oh,
gosh. And you always say I'm so mean to you. Okay, here we go, Joe. Quote. Yeah. Who says famine has to be depressing?
David Brent.
Correct. Okay, back to Sam.
Shithole, that's
quote.
What I think,
but... When you see the other side chopping off heads, waterboarding doesn't seem very severe.
Trump.
Yeah.
Correct. All right, back to Joe. Quote, a sergeant major spends his time training his men to be killers. He doesn't polish his own boots. He probably doesn't polish his own boots, but, you know.
That's David Brent.
Yes, because the rest of the quote is, why do I have to do my filing?
But can I say, okay. Alice, it was the way you said it. It was that you really just,
oh,
you really
it.
Made
oh,
no, 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 okay. It was good. You made it, some people just phone it in, whereas you, you know, I felt the backstory, I felt the motivation.
Thank you.
It was,
thank you.
It was beautiful.
Method
all right,
acting.
Sam, you're up 3-2. Quote, I probably will do it, maybe definitely.
Trump.
It's too
yes,
easy.
Correct.
I told you that.
Okay. Joe,
yes.
Back to you. Quote, I have tremendous respect for women.
Donald Trump.
Correct.
Okay.
Sam, quote, if you want the rainbow, you've got to put up with the rain. Do you know what philosopher said that? Dolly Parton. And people say she's just a pair of tits.
David Brent.
Correct. Okay, back to you, Joe. Quote, there should be no ego when you're pulling together to do something good.
Trump.
No!
Oh,
back to you,
together.
Sam. That was David Brent.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, here we go, Sam. Quote, I'm an educator. I'm a motivator of people. I excite their imaginations. It's like bloody Dead Poets Society sometimes out there.
David Brent.
Yeah. As if Trump's
correct.
Seen Dead Poets Society.
Oh, my God. Sam's up 6-3. Here we go. Back to you, Joe. Quote, oh, well, I try so hard to be his friend, and maybe one day that will happen.
Trump.
Yes, that was Trump about Kim Jong-il. Okay.
Ah.
Back to you, Sam. Quote, I know an alcoholic, and it's not a laughing matter, particularly for his wife. She's got alopecia, so not a happy home life.
I want to say Trump, but I think it's definitely Brent.
Correct. Okay, back to you, Joe. Quote, I don't think he could have done better if he'd heard what he was playing, in my opinion.
Sorry. Could you repeat the question?
I don't think he could have done better if he'd heard what he was playing, in my opinion. Do you want a clue?
Donald Trump?
No, it's David Brenner about Beethoven. Okay, back to you, Sam. Quote, some people are intimidated when talking to large numbers of people in an entertaining way. Not me.
David Brent.
Yes, correct. Okay. Sam is up 8-4. So this is the winner takes all Joe. Are you ready?
Okay.
Quote, get going. Move forward. Aim high. Plan a takeoff. Don't just sit on the runway and hope someone will come along and push the airplane. It simply won't happen. Change your attitude and gain some altitude. Believe me, you'll love it up here.
Okay, this is going to be a trick question, isn't it? Because the last one is always a trick question. But I'm going to say, it sounds exactly like David Brent, obviously, but I'm going to say it is Donald Trump, but not Donald Trump talking as president, but Donald Trump in his number one New York Times best-selling book, The Art of the Deal.
Yes, you are correct.
Oh!
You are correct.
They're so in your ear.
I've never even read it, but I know the workman mind. I can see the cogs turning, the cunning little hamster in the wheel thinking.
And you know why I picked it? Because when Sam Dastyari went on Insiders talking pitches, he held up a copy of Donald Trump's book.
Do you still
and
have
started
that copy?
Quoting from it. It's yours. It's not mine. I don't have it. Anyway, there we go.
This
so
is
I'm
bullshit.
Sorry, Sam.
I have been robbed. I have been robbed. When is a poor little Persian boy going to get a chance again?
Do you still have that book?
I think I might see my bookshelf somewhere. Yeah. I'll have copies of it. I'll give it out.
Yeah.
It's a birthday gift. Just that and InfoWars gift.
Just steal it from Marrickville Library. They'll never notice it's gone.
They have a library?
That's all we've got time for this episode of I'm Usually More Professional. We will be back next Thursday on your favourite podcasting apps and on YouTube. But, guys, before we go, I obviously let the team down last week when I failed to get a celebrity on a Logie winner.
You got your mum.
Your mum was good. She was nice.
Yeah, I mean, she was great. She was really nervous about it. So this week I've got someone special lined up. It is a natter with Bob Catter.
Oh, well done. Well played.
And I believe that Bob Catter is with us. Bob, it's Alice. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Catter doesn't matter what's going on. Against everyone, like.
Go.
So, Bob, you're up in Queensland on a coal tour because obviously there's an election up there, but we really want to get your thoughts on Donald Trump and what's going to happen in America. What do you think?
I've never taken an interest in American elections in my entire life, but I did watch the runoff of the American candidates for the Republican Party. And then they all said the usual things, you know, you lied about this, you lied about that, or you're super rich and represent everything we hate, you know. And they're all attacking each other. When it was his turn to talk, I'd never seen this bloke before in my life. I don't get to watch television very much. So I'd never seen this bloke before in my life. But this bloke said, when there's a hiccup in the world economies, China pulls its currency down. And we give them a lecture. When I become president, we won't give them a lecture. We will teach them a lesson. Oh. And I said, I don't care if this like, you know, rapes women or, you know, kills people or I'm voting for him. I would pray on my bended knees every night to get an Australian leader to say the same thing.
Maybe, Bob, we could get a celebrity TV host to come in to Australian Parliament and be Prime Minister, and that's how we could drain the swamp here in Canberra.
I'm available.
The word celebrity, Joe, the word celebrity. Sorry.
Well, thanks for having a chat with us, Bob.
Thank you.
Thanks for having a natter with Catter.
Natter with Catter.
Very, very great honour to be on your programme. God bless all your listeners and viewers.
Geez, good, isn't he? The force from the north. What a man.
Obviously, we should say up front that we do not endorse the views of Bob Catter, but
I think Bob Catter is one of those characters that you don't have to begin by saying, I don't endorse everything he says. I think that's a given.
Yeah.
I don't think Bob Catter endorses everything Bob Catter says.
He is in the minority, obviously, someone predicting that Trump will win, except that this week the Trafalgar Group, who are often called the shy Trumping, the shy Trumper polling group, are predicting that Trump will win. And Robert Kahali said is that if it all happens right now, my best guess would be an electoral college victory in the high to 270s and low 280s. Wow. And he thinks that Trump will lose Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, but that'll be enough of him to sneak home.
And not just the Trafalgar Group are saying it, Alice, but also televangelist Pat Robertson is also predicting a Trump win.
Our final word is that Pat Robertson says that God told him Trump will win and then an asteroid will hit the Earth.
So, got to take the bad with the good.
Some would argue it's the same thing.
All right. Okay. That's all we got time for this week. We will be back next Thursday in all your favorite podcasting apps and on SportsBet's YouTube page. See you then.
Bye.